Roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Oh.
Fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads.
Yeah, it's the fish heads song. Bet you haven't heard it in a long time, but I bet you remember the guy who's responsible for it becoming an earworm that you could not get out of your head. He's my guest today. Dr. Demento is back with a brand new project. It's a double CD collection called Dr. Demento Covered in Punk. He and the guy who produced that album are both here, Dr. Demento and John Caffiero. Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh,
hey,
great.
Paul.
How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing wonderfully.
Welcome to your radio. Hello, St. Louis.
Hello. But before we talk about your history, Dr. Demento, tell me about that particular song, Barnes and Barnes, Fish Heads.
Oh, yes. Barnes and Barnes, Bill Mumy and Robert Hamer. Yes, the same Bill Mumy who used to be Billy Mumy, the redheaded kid in Lost in Space, Danger Will Robinson.
Yep.
They wrote that together in a Chinese restaurant in the early 70s. And after a little while, they got around to sending it to me, and I started playing it on my radio show. And I realized as soon as I heard it that that's something my audience would like. I didn't necessarily realize right away how much of an earworm it would become or how long it would last.
And it's still around today. In fact, John and his group, Osaka Pop Star, have done an updated version of Fish Heads that goes like this.
Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
All right, so John, explain why you're doing a cover version of that.
Well, I have been a huge fan of the Dr. Demento show and the whole demented music movement that he started in the 1970s that continues on today, and all of the artists that he helped to bring out into the forefront. And I'm also a huge punk rock fan, and I've worked in punk rock since my teenage years to through my adulthood. I have a band. I'm a music producer. I also manage artists, and I've worked with some of the most iconic punk bands in the history of the genre, including the Ramones and the Misfits, who I continue to work with in different capacities. And I'd got to thinking that it would be an incredibly fun and unique project to have classic and contemporary punk bands doing punk rock cover versions of the novelty songs made famous on the airwaves of the Dr. Demento show, and then to reverse the concept and have some newly demented versions of punk rock classics, and then wrap the whole thing up in this special bizarro punk rock themed episode of the Dr. Demento show, hosted by the Doc, complete with the jingles, the opening theme, the bumpers, the whole nine, a full radio show. And here we now have it. It's a two-hour-plus demented punk extravaganza, Dr. Demento covered in punk.
It is a wonderful reminder of what Dr. Demento has been doing, and by the way, continues to do, but now you do it online, right?
Yes, drdemento.com. I produce a new show every single week. New one just went up Saturday. You can hear them anytime, along with over 1,000 older shows, all at drdemento.com for a small streaming fee. We got to keep the lights on and pay the royalties.
Absolutely. Somebody's got to monetize this stuff. So let's do that. So let's talk a little bit of history, because I've been in the radio business professionally for 40 years now. So I remember working at FM rock stations that carried the Dr. Demento show, usually as part of the Sunday night block that also included things like the King Biscuit Flower Hour. You were a regular mainstay there with your show.
Yeah.
But how did that show start?
Well, it started as a rare rock oldie show. I started to be known as somebody who knew something about the early days of rock and roll, and I'd done some writing for Rolling Stone and Hit Parader, and so I got in touch, or rather he got in touch with me, a DJ at a local station, one of the so-called underground FM stations, progressive radio, that were flourishing in the late 60s and early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got this rare rock and roll oldie show on that station, and I take requests, and I started noticing a lot of people were requesting novelty songs from the 50s, like the Purple People Eater and the Flying Saucer and Transfusion on just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never going to speed again.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the juice to me, Bruce. Nervous, nervous.
Yeah.
So, and the more of that sort of thing that I played, the more popular the show got. So I decided that I would be the funny music guy. I kind of took off running with that, and I'm still running almost 40 years later.
Yeah. What was the influence on you as you were growing up of musicians like Tom Lehrer and Spike Jones or other geniuses like Stan Freberg?
Yeah, well, Spike Jones and Stan Freberg, I heard when I was growing up. My dad would bring home new records by Spike Jones when I was a little kid, like in the 40s. Later, a classmate at school introduced me to Tom Lehrer's music, and Stan Freberg had hits that would be on the radio in the 50s, like St. George and the Dragonette and his version of Heartbreak Hotel. So I knew that stuff pretty well, and also Alan Sherman, when he came on the scene in the 60s with Hello Mudda, Hello Fada, and eventually people like Cheech and Chong came along, and so though I was maybe more interested in the 60s, definitely more interested in blues and rockabilly, things like that, I was always aware of funny music, and when it looked like that would be something that I could do that nobody else was doing, off I went, the Dr. Demento show.
So you were doing that one show one night a week, or were you on multiple nights a week?
It was always just one night a week. It was like the dessert after a meal of rock and roll for the week.
So then how did you get turned into this syndicated phenomenon?
It started getting really good ratings in Los Angeles. Starting in 1973, it became the number one top-rated show on any station, AM or FM, in Los Angeles on Sunday night. So people started looking at that, and they thought, well, they like it that well in L.A., maybe they'll like it in Peoria.
Mm-hmm.
So the syndication started in 1974, took off like gangbusters for a while, and was pretty much on all the time until the late 90s, when things started to change. But so I had a nice long run on 100 or more stations much of that time, including a few in St. Louis from time to time.
Yeah, I'm sure you were on KSHE here for quite a while. That's the kind of station that would have picked it up. Now, we have to talk about one person who is probably the most famous alumnus of Dr. Demento world. And that is a guy by the name of Al Yankovic, Weird Al Yankovic. I remember I was working at a radio station in a small town on the east end of Long Island, New York. And on Sunday nights, we would air your show. And I remember the night you first played what I believe was Weird Al's first submission to you, and that was My Bologna. Was that the first one?
It wasn't the very first one. It was the first one that really took off. It was his first song parody, and that just struck a nerve. I mean, he'd had several songs before on my show that did okay, but My Bologna really took off. It was my number one most requested song. Then after that came another one, Rides the Bus, based on another one, Bites the Dust by Queen, and that one really took off. That was actually performed live on the air on my show on KMET in Los Angeles, the big rock and roll station at that time.
Yeah.
And soon we were getting calls from all over the country. Where can we get a copy of that? And many of those stations that asked about it would be picking up my show as well. So that was a big boost to the Dr. Demento show, as well as to Al's career.
Yeah, I remember the morning after My Bologna was on your show. I was doing the morning show at the time, and it was the number one requested song that morning. Kids were calling in. We heard this song last night. It was a parody of My Sharona. Can you play? I think I played it three times in a four-hour show because of you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Giving you full credit, by the way.
Thank you.
Now, the other thing about Al is, didn't he actually record some of his early stuff in the bathroom of your radio station?
Well, he recorded My Bologna in the bathroom of his radio station at college he went to.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, Rides the Bus, was recorded live in the studio of my radio station, KMET.
Gotcha.
His other things, his earliest things, were recorded at home in his bedroom on a cheap little cassette machine with a self-contained microphone. And, of course, after Another One Rides the Bus, he began to be able to use regular recording studios.
Yeah. And were you getting a lot of submissions in those days from listeners?
Oh, yes, lots. The week that Al sent me his first tape, there were probably 20 or 30, something like that. So, but that tape stood out. Even with the crude recording, he'd already figured out how to make his voice project so you could hear his lyrics and get the balance right. And the lyrics, even on that very first tape, were funny. So,
and now we're in the days of YouTube, where anybody can turn themselves into an online star. Do people still send you stuff?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll just send me a link to their YouTube, or other times they'll send me MP3s, and not infrequently, I still get CDs, and maybe a couple times a year, a cassette still.
The quality's a little better than the bathroom recording on a cassette.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah. Now, John, let's talk about you, and you mentioned before that you had done some work with the Ramones. I understand that you actually were there when the Ramones were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
I was, yeah. I was at the induction, and we had a party prior, and it was pretty surreal for me. I was a huge fan of the Ramones as a kid, and it was really an honor to be there with them, and an even bigger honor later on to be able to carry on the torch for them and oversee things for them. And frankly, when they received the Lifetime Achievement Grammy Award in 2011, I accepted and spoke on behalf of Dee Dee Ramone,
who is no longer with us at that point.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That must have been surreal for a guy who just grew up as a Ramones fan, and now here you are speaking for one of them.
Absolutely. It truly was. It was a great honor, and Tommy Ramone was the only founding member that was still alive at that point, and it was really a very special moment because he actually even commented that he felt that the things that I said in my speech were, you know, really poignant, and that he really enjoyed it. And that really meant a lot to me because they truly did. They made a huge impact on me. I think you can hear that in the sound of the music I make and the music that I produce. And it's really been an honor to get to work with people that that inspire you.
Well, now I understand why on this new album, Dr. Demento Covered in Punk, we can combine both of these conversations and have Weird Al doing a Ramones song.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was a great session with Al. He was phenomenal, and he's a real rocker in addition to being a great humorist.
Here he is. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe you can double check me on this. Is that the first time a Ramones song has been covered by a guy who is an expert accordion player?
I believe so, yes.
It sounds great.
It's also the first time Weird Al has covered a song without doing parody lyrics. The original lyrics were plenty demented enough.
Yeah, they were. They were. I do a thing on my show every Friday called the Harris Challenge, which is a topical trivia game. And when somebody doesn't score enough points to win, I actually punish them with what I call punishment music, which for a long time was some of the songs that you had made famous by people like William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. And in recent years, I've just thrown anybody who I can find a copy of when they do a bad version of some song. I throw them in there as punishment music. And somebody reminded me today, this is the first time you've had a guest on who's responsible for some of the stuff you've used during the challenge. That's you, Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
So,
I understand. No problem. I'm fine with it.
I give you full credit for that. Last thing I want to ask you about is you being on The Simpsons and becoming a Bart Simpson nemesis. What's the backstory there?
Well, the artist who invented the Simpsons,
Matt Groening.
Matt Groening, of course. Yeah, sorry about that. He grew up in Portland, Oregon, and tuned into a station there that carried my show. And he told me that he was often inspired when he was drawing his earlier strip, Life in Hell. And so he decided that he would pay me back by giving me a spot on The Simpsons and having me on a radio thrown out the window. Of course, I was paid for that, and I still get residuals. They're rather small one day. One day I got a check for 2 cents, but usually they're like $20 a few times a year. So anyway, and that was a great privilege to be there with all the Simpsons voice actors sitting around in a circle doing our parts, and it was a lot of fun, and I was very proud of that.
Speaking of royalties, you probably have made a few cents here and there for some of the people whose music you've played over the years, and some of whom are now included on this new collection, right?
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of compilations before, mostly for Rhino Records,
yep.
And I got royalties for those, so I had to split them with all the artists. And this project here, it's different from all of those because everything is newly recorded,
mm-hmm.
And also because I do it's like an entire Dr. Demento show with all the narration and the jingles.
That's very, very cool. By the way, one of those Rhino compilations, you had a song called Wet Dream by Kip Adada, which was another one of those songs that my listeners could not get enough of.
All right. Yeah, that has stuck around. That has had a long lifespan.
Yeah, it's a classic, as are some of the things that you have introduced us to over the years and continue to do so. On drdemento.com, you can listen to his still weekly show and raving. And now you can pick up this new double album. It's actually not just on CD. It's also available as a digital download and as a 3-album colored vinyl triple gatefold package. And there is a booklet inside there that tells you all about the history of the song and the show and all the rest. It's terrific to hear you again, Doctor, and I appreciate your time today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, can I give you one more tiny St. Louis story?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I used to tour quite a bit. I hope to start touring again with this album taking off. But I used to tour, and I did a little show where I'd play hits from the show and sometimes show movies. And so I was booked into a theater in the Round in St. Louis. It was kind of out west of the main part of town, I think.
It was probably right here where I'm broadcasting from. We're at Westport Plaza, and right down below us, it was probably the Westport Playhouse.
Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, the opening act they booked for me, and then just on the cusp of fame, was Sam Kinison. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he opened for me, so he was a hard act to follow. I let him finish the show the second night.
I would imagine that would be a little tough to come on after, but that's great. Yeah, the Westport Playhouse used to be right downstairs from the radio station here, and now the Playhouse at Westport Plaza is actually across the hall. We're still both here after all these years.
So, how cool.
Congratulations on your longevity and your new project, and John, thank you for joining us as well.
Sure. Thank you so much, Paul. I hope that your listeners enjoy the record. There's really nothing else like it. And if they want to sample tracks from the record or learn more about it or order online, if they visit us at coveredinpunk.com, they can do all of that and more.
The project is called Dr. Demento Covered in Punk. Dr. Demento and John Caffiaro here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.